You're listening to an audio sermon from Harvest Bible Chapel in Toronto West. For more information, please visit harvesttorontowest.ca.
I want to jump right away into God's Word. I believe God has a word for us today. There's a portion of Scripture that we're going to be tackling today that's often misunderstood, that's often abused and misused, and yet will be, if we can grasp it, transformative for us. It will change us. It will change the way we relate to one another. If we embrace the teachings of Jesus today in our passage of Scripture today, it'll change the way we relate to each other, the way we think about each other, and the way we move forward together as a church family. So I want you to go with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 6. And if you don't have a Bible, you can put up your hand, and one of the ushers on either side will put a copy of God's Word into your hand. And if you don't own one, that Bible will be our gift to you today. Please take it home. And we'd love you to read it and have your life changed by the Word of God. The title of this morning's message is this, Judge Not. Judge Not. Have you ever had someone come to you and say, hey, don't judge me? Have you ever approached someone and with real concern for them in their lives, thought to yourself, man, I really need to address this issue in their lives. They turned around, they said, don't judge me. Jesus says, don't judge. Well, this is what Jesus does say, but we want to uncover what exactly Jesus means. So Matthew chapter 7, continuing in the Sermon on the Mount, starting from verse 1, Jesus says this, judge not that you be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but you do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. So we're going to get to that last verse. You're probably thinking, what does that mean? We're going to uncover what that means with the help of the Lord and the illumination of the Holy Spirit. But this is where I want us to start this morning. If you have a pen, I want you to write this down. Jesus is addressing in this text the practice of, firstly, judging unfairly. Jesus is addressing amongst the scribes and the Pharisees and his disciples and the crowds. Remember, he is showing us what marks of true citizens of the kingdom are. He's showing us the practice, or addressing the practice of judging unfairly. Notice verse 1, Jesus says, judge not. Let's stop right there. Judge not. Notice the word judge here in the text. It has the basic meaning, the basic idea of making a judgment call about someone. Making an assessment and coming to a conclusion about someone. The original Greek word here refers to both the negative judgment of criticism or condemnation, but it also refers to the positive judgment of discerning between right and wrong. But given the context and the rest of Scripture, Christ is prohibiting a distinct kind of judging here. He's not, I want you to know, prohibiting all kinds of judgment. He's prohibiting a specific kind of judging. Now, this is important because, as I said earlier, so often what we see in the church is a misuse of this scripture, that in order to get out from under any kind of accountability or confrontation of sin, people like to refer to the words of Jesus and say, don't judge me. Jesus said, don't judge. But is that what Jesus means here? That's not what Jesus means here. It can't be what he means here. If we look at the rest of Scripture and the testimony of Scripture, we see that, in fact, it is necessary for God's people to make judgments and to discern in many situations of life. Let me show you on the screen, just a few verses down, Matthew 7:15, Jesus says, beware of false prophets. We're going to get there. who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. A judgment is required here. A judgment needs to be made based on the criteria of Scripture, who is a false teacher and who isn't. So Jesus is not prohibiting all forms of judgment. Another example on the screen, Romans 16:17, Paul says, I appeal to you, brothers, watch this, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. He says, avoid them. Well, in order to do what Paul is telling us to do, we have to make judgments. We have to discern carefully the lives of other people. One more. In 1 Corinthians 5:11, Paul says on the screen, but now I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. Watch this now. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Listen, is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? Paul is saying that we must judge and discern the actions of one another in the church where it's appropriate and lining it up with the criteria of Scripture. So Jesus is not saying that you shouldn't judge or criticize ever. In any circumstance, that's not what he's saying here, and I want you to understand that. What Christ has in mind here is unfair judgments of people, unmerciful judgments of people, judgments of people that don't have as the criteria the Word of God, but something else. R.T. France is helpful here. He wrote this on the screen. He wrote, this text deals with the down-to-earth issue of unfairly critical attitudes of others, which combined with a naive lack of self-criticism threatened to disrupt a close-knit community such as that of Jesus' first disciples. So this is what we're dealing with here today. This is what Jesus is dealing with here. He's not saying you should never judge anyone ever, because that's not what the rest of Scripture shows us. What he's saying is be careful in your judgments of people, lest your judgments of people be unfair, lest your judgments of people be unmerciful or overly critical without an acknowledgement of the state of our own hearts. And so this is what I pray God challenges us with today, that we would put away once and for all unfair judgment, undue criticism of one another. But at this point, you're probably sitting there asking the question, well, what exactly is unfair judgment of others then, Jason? What exactly does it mean that I criticize or judge someone unfairly? What exactly is Jesus combating here if it's not necessarily wrong to judge people according to the criteria of Scripture? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Let me show you this on the screen. I know that I'm judging someone unfairly when I make judgments, listen to this, based on man-made standards. Okay? So important. How can you know that you're judging someone unfairly? You can know that you're judging someone unfairly when you're making judgments that are based upon man-made standards. Remember what Jesus has been addressing all throughout the Sermon on the Mount. Remember that he's been combating the faulty interpretations of the scribes and Pharisees of the law of God. Remember that the scribes and the Pharisees were specialists in twisting the law of God, and not only twisting the law of God, but adding to the law of God so that the law of God becomes more attainable for them. But what they were doing is they were adding to the law, and then they were placing it as a standard on everyone around them. And so they're saying, this is what we want you to do. It's not found anywhere in God's word, but this is what we believe is right and makes you righteous. And if you don't do these things, then you're not righteous. And they were judging people and being critical of people, overly critical of people. And Jesus says, this is unfair. And Jesus says, this is destructive. Just because you decide something works for you doesn't mean that it has to be so for everyone else. Just because you have a way of doing things doesn't mean it has to be the way everyone else does things. And the moment you begin to look at people and say, you got to do it my way. If you don't do it my way, then you're not doing it the right way. Then you are judging unfairly. And you are judging based upon a man-made standard that you have created. This is what Jesus is addressing here. He's saying, don't set up these standards for people that they need to live up to. So if you're a parent in the room and you have a good bedtime routine that works for your kids, that's great. But don't judge other parents if they do it differently than you. Don't look at them and say, well, they put their kids down at 7:30. We do it at 7. That's just not right. They're not getting enough sleep. I got to confront them on it. Well, hold on. Don't confront anyone. You figured out what works for you and your spouse in terms of growing your marriage. Don't judge other marriages for not doing the same things you are doing. Jesus said that's unfair. Or you have a certain way that you feel is right, a certain way of dressing. Don't judge others for not dressing the way you do, and some of you are thinking, but what if I really believe that my way is right? Some of you are saying, but I love people in my life. What if I really believe that my way is right, and I'm judging them because I really believe that my way is right? I have two words for you, if that's what you're thinking. Two words, chapter and verse. Show me in the Bible. If you believe your way is right, good for you. But if you're going to hold it as a standard for other people, you have to be able to show me a chapter and verse so that you can say the Word of God says this is right, not your preference. And so that's so important. It's very important to understand. You know, others of you are saying, but not everything in the Bible is so clearly outlined as to find a chapter and verse. That's fair. That's fair. But if you're going to hold others to a standard, you must be able to make a compelling argument from Scripture that this way of doing things is wisest. But if you can't make a compelling argument from Scripture as to why this person has to live this way or do this thing or dress in this way, then what you are doing is you are setting up a man-made human standard that you're placing upon people as a burden and a yoke, and in your heart, you're judging them unfairly for not doing it the way you do it. Jesus says, not fair. Jesus says, don't do that. Don't set up your own criteria. And so I know that I'm judging someone unfairly when I make judgments based on my own man-made standards. Secondly, I know that I'm judging someone unfairly when I make judgments, listen now, based on, listen, assumptions of motives. When I make judgments based on assumption of motives. Dr. Tony Evans shared a story of a pastor who arrived into the church parking lot, and it was a nice sunny day, and so he stopped and he leaned up on his car and he pulled out his Bible and his sermon notes, and he pulled out a little white pencil from his pocket and just began to review his sermon notes in the parking lot. And so he was leaning up against his car, nice sunny day, reviewing his sermon notes with his little white pencil in his hand, and he put the white pencil in his mouth, as was his habit, as he was in deep thought, reflecting on his sermon. Well, one of the deacons looked out the window of the church, and they saw the pastor, and they were deeply troubled. And they went back and told the rest of the deacons, listen, we got to call the pastor in for a meeting. I've seen something very troubling. So when the pastor walked into the church, the deacon said, Pastor, we want to meet with you. We're very upset with you. He says, why are you upset with me? And one of the deacons said, well, the chairman of the deacon board saw you in the parking lot smoking. You didn't get it. Little white pencil in the mouth. He thought he saw something. He assumed that he knew what was happening. The pastor pulled out the little white pencil and said, no, I wasn't smoking. It was just this little pencil. Assumptions. assumptions. When you see something and you're convinced that you know everything that there is to know about what you just saw. When you hear something and you're convinced that you've heard everything you need to hear, and you make a judgment based solely on an assumption and an indictment about a person's motive. Now, of course, this is what the scribes and Pharisees were masters at doing. With a false sense of superiority, they constantly judged others based on their own man-made standards, and they assumed they understood completely what was in the hearts of other people. And they judged people based on assumptions of what was going on in the hearts of people. T.W. Manson gives a humbling reminder when he writes this: "The whole business of judging persons is in God's hands, for he alone knows the secrets of men's hearts." And of course, here he's referring to unmerciful, unfair judgments about the deep matters of the heart. No one knows what's going on inside another person's heart. And if we set up a man-made standard and begin to assume upon people a certain thing, or they're living a certain way because they're not living up to our own standards, then we're judging people unfairly. So let me ask you a question, because I ask myself these questions as I'm preparing this message, and I'm very, very glad that God was able to show me in my heart the many times that this happens in my life, and it does. But do you tend to be in a pattern or a habit of seeing something or looking at someone or hearing something and running to jump to a conclusion, making a judgment that is based solely on either your own man-made standards that you have erected or an assumption of the motive of someone's heart? See, Jesus is saying this is a very problematic thing amongst people. And he's addressing and he's introducing his kingdom, and he's saying, this cannot be something that exists in my kingdom. My people can't judge one another unfairly. My people can't make judgments based on assumptions of what's going on in people's hearts. My people can't jump to conclusions about each other. That's going to sow discord. That's going to create disunity. That's going to bring damage to the church. When you see something or hear something and you jump to conclusions, just calm down about the thing you thought you saw, or the thing you thought you heard. Make sure that if you're making a judgment, that it's not unfair, that it is based upon the criteria of Scripture. So Jesus says that this kind of unfair judgment is destructive and very dangerous. Notice again verses 1 and 2. He says, "Now judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." This is a very serious verse of Scripture. D.A. Carson writes this: "Those who judge like this will in turn," listen, "be judged, not by men, which would be of little consequence, but by God. The disciple who takes it on himself to judge what another does usurps the place of God and therefore becomes answerable to him. Do not assume the place of God by deciding you have the right to stand in judgment over all. Do not do it, I say, in order to avoid being called to account by the God whose place you usurp." That's amazing. And so there's a clear sense that while Christians are no longer under the judgment of God as it pertains to his wrath and his condemnation because of the blood of Jesus, what Jesus is saying here is that we are held accountable for living that way. We are to be held accountable by God. that we who judge others and stand unfairly over others, whether it be our spouses or our children or people we lead in ministry, when we stand over people with unfair judgment, Jesus says, be very careful, because the measure with which you're judging, that's going to be the same measure used towards you by the true judge. The one who you are trying to usurp. See, there's only one judge. It's God. And so let's allow our hearts to be sobered by this. And let's allow our hearts to be awakened again to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that's coming to us right now in this teaching. Lord, help us to be a healthy, healthy community of people who are resolved to put off judging one another unfairly, so that we can be increasing in love, unity, and blessing. This is my prayer for my life and our church. This is my prayer that we increase in love and unity and blessing. This is what marks the kingdom of God. And so, if there's anyone here right now and the Spirit of God is shining a light on your heart and say, you've been a little hard on that person. You've been a little bit judgmental towards that other person. You've been standing over them as a judge. You've been standing over them with your own standards, calling people to do what you do. If that's the way we've been living, then Jesus is saying, be careful. It's dangerous. You're setting yourself up to be judged by the real judge. But also, this is how seeds of discord get planted in the church. When you're standing in the lobby and someone looks at you, listen, I had this thing happen to me a couple times. I was in the lobby talking to people, and I don't remember this at all, but someone came to me after and said, Jason, you gave me a dirty look in the lobby today. I don't know what you have against me, Pastor Jason. You gave me a dirty look. You were at church? I didn't even see you there. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. No, I know. I saw you. Look at me. So if any of you think I may have done that to you, it's probably because I'm in deep thought about something else. But see how quickly assumptions of people's motives and judging unfairly can cause so much damage in the church. Jesus is addressing the practice of judging unfairly. Secondly, Jesus is addressing the practice of this now, judging hypocritically. Judging hypocritically. Notice verses 3-5. Jesus says, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? Jesus says, you hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye. And then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Jesus is using hyperbole. He's using a sarcasm here to communicate just how ridiculous and, listen, hypocritical it is to unfairly judge other people based on our own man-made standards and assumptions. The word speck here, it refers to a tiny piece of sawdust or a splinter. You see, you got to see the exaggeration in Jesus' words. The word log, it refers to a large beam or a plank. So you see the imagery Jesus is giving. Like, how ridiculous is it for you to go up to your brother and say, hey, brother, I see something in your eye. Let me get it. But all the while, you have this massive log sticking out of your head. You see what Jesus is doing? How can you see clearly unless you remove what's going on in your life, unless you address what's going on in your heart, unless you hold up the mirror to yourself first? See, Jesus is addressing this judgmental hypocrisy that so many people in the church have embraced so often. The picture Jesus is painting is of one blind, self-righteous, hypocritical person who's always focused on finding that fault in the other person. So hypocritical. Like, just picture the big log. And just, I just, let me get that little space. Just always trying to find it in someone else. But your problem is massive. And Jesus is saying, you can't help anyone else until you look in the mirror and deal with yourself first. Don't be walking around looking for every small thing in every person you come across. Because then you'll be like the person with the log sticking out of your eye, trying to find a little piece of sawdust in the eye of someone else. Jesus is not saying that it's wrong to help someone get the speck out of their eye. He's saying it's wrong to do that before you try to take the log out of your own. So he's saying, look inward first. He's saying, this is what hypocrisy is. His eyes, I'm not looking at my problems. I'm okay, I'm good. But everyone else has an issue all the while. You're the one who has the issue. Perhaps, loved ones, perhaps. Perhaps there's people in the room today and you're walking around with this big log in your eye, but you're nitpicking at everyone else. Trying to find a little speck. A little bit of sawdust. Jesus says, you got to stop. That's hypocritical judgment. That's unfair. And it's sinful. You got to look at your own problem. You got to look at your own eye first. You got to look at your own heart first. Then you will be able to see clearly. That's why in conflict resolution, it's just so important to get people to stop saying, you, you, you. See, if you got both people just saying, you, you, you. It's just we got to stop and say, what's the problem with me? What's the issue with me? What's in my eye that I need to remove? What's in my heart that I need to remove before I can even begin to look at the issue in someone else? I remember hearing a story of an inner city church located in the downtown core. It was a rundown area, and there were a lot of prostitution and drug trafficking in the area, and there was this church that existed there, and they sadly managed to create their own little bubble where they were almost unaffected by the community around them, their own little bubble where, you know, as long as nobody walked into their building, they were okay just to be there for themselves, existing for themselves. Well, I heard the story of a young woman who walked into the church one Wednesday night to the prayer meeting. She was a slim girl, you know, dressed inappropriately, dressed in kind of dirty clothing. She had this frightened look on her face when she walked into the church. Someone saw her and invited her to come back on Sunday. So she came back on Sunday dressed the same frightened look on her face. When she came on Sunday, people in the church were looking at her, were staring at her. And there was a lot of gossiping and rumbling happening amongst the people. But something in what the pastor was saying was drawing this girl back. And she would come back dressed the same, hadn't washed her clothes, the same frightened look on her face. But something was drawing her back. And every time she would come, people would kind of make it a practice to gossip about her in the church. And it actually even came to a point of it became a joke for some people. Like, I wonder if that girl's going to come today. I wonder if she's going to wear the same thing. At least maybe she'll change her clothes. That was going on in the church. And so one day she came to church and an elderly woman approached her and rebuked her. And said, how could you come to church dressed like that? And so the girl started to cry and she started to explain her situation, that she was homeless, that she'd been in and out of homeless shelters for a long time, that she had tried her best to find a job, but no one would hire her, and she'd been in and out of foster homes her whole life. No one wanted her for more than a certain period of time, and she was just passed around, and then she's sharing her story, and she's like, I want better clothes. I want to do better, but I'm just not getting the opportunity I need. And she began to talk about how she had to resort to prostitution so that she could somehow make some money, and the reasoning in her mind was, I'll do this for a little bit so I can get enough money and then buy enough clothes and clean myself up, and maybe I'll be presentable to get another job. And as she's sharing this story, then the elderly woman on the other side starts to cry. And it's like all of a sudden her eyes were opened. All of a sudden she saw that big, ugly log that was in her own eye. And she started to cry and apologize. And say, I'm so sorry. I didn't know what you were going through. I didn't know, and I'm sorry for placing these unrealistic expectations on you. And she began to apologize. And what happened, someone tells me this story, what happened later was just amazing. Not only was the elderly woman's eyes open to the reality of her own deep-seated hypocrisy, church going for years, but deep-seated hypocrisy, but that young woman started to get connected into the life of the church with a small group of women who began to learn what it meant to remove the logs out of their own eyes before they try to find a speck in someone else. And she found a safe place there. And you know, loved ones, our church is not like that. I believe that anyone could come to this church and feel safe and not be judged. But I have to press and challenge a little bit. Is there anything in us, loved ones? Is there anything in us that resembles this kind of hypocritical judgment of others? It may not be pointing the finger at someone who's not dressed like us when they walk into church, but maybe it's something else inside. And someone doesn't do something the way you do it, or something struggling in a particular way that you don't have a struggle in. I just want us all to examine our heart, because I'm praying and believing. You have to understand, this week, as this week's going by, I'm praying, Lord, take this message and help this message to uproot any judgmentalism that's unfair from our church. Just uproot it, get rid of it, so that this continues to grow as a safe place. If there's anyone in this place that has the habit of assuming where people are at or where their hearts are at, or if you've heard something but you haven't heard the whole story and you're placing a judgment on someone, that we would be a people who say we're not going to do that. That we're going to be people who identify that, oh, how our flesh wants to take us there. How our flesh wants to take, you heard a little bit about so-and-so and you want to judge them. How your flesh wants to go there, that you would step back and say, I'm not going to go there. I don't know everything. I'm not going to make an assumption. I'm not going to place my own man-made standards upon people. If I'm to judge and discern anyone's life, it has to be based on the criteria of Scripture, and it has to come after I've looked at my own heart. This is what Jesus is teaching us. So how quickly does such hypocritical criticism and judgment of others fill our hearts? How committed are you to first identifying the log in your own eye before you examine the speck that is in someone else's? Even right now, as you're sitting here, I pray you're not thinking, oh, so-and-so needs to hear that, they're so judgmental. No, stop, stop. That even right now you're able to look at your own heart and say, I need to hear this. Because I want you to understand that as I'm preaching this right now, I need to hear this. As I'm studying this passage this week, I need this. I need this. We need this. And so Jesus is addressing the practice of judging unfairly, judging hypocritically. And finally, Jesus is addressing the practice of judging carefully. Judging carefully. Look at verse 6. Jesus goes on now and says, do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. At first glance, this verse is very strange, and it doesn't seem to make sense. It doesn't seem to be connected in any way to what was just previously taught, but it is very connected. Listen to what D.A. Carson says about this verse. He says, disciples exhorted to love their enemies, we saw that, and not to judge, might fail to consider the subtleties of the argument and become undiscerning simpletons this verse guards against such a possibility. So Jesus is now just, you have to understand, the Sermon on the Mount was one sermon. He preached it in one sitting. It's not like how we're doing it, taking a whole ministry year to unpack every single verse. Jesus preached this all at once. So there's people sitting there, okay, I got to love my enemies. I got to turn the other cheek. I got to, I got to do all that. I can't judge people unfairly. And so Jesus gives us this last verse to teach us now how to judge carefully as citizens of the kingdom, lest we become, as D.A. Carson puts it, undiscerning simpletons. Discernment is required. So let's understand what's going on here. Jesus' concern here is that his disciples don't give what is holy and precious to dogs and pigs. What does that mean? Well, what is holy and precious is a reference to the gospel of the kingdom. What is sacred and precious, we see that elsewhere in Matthew. What is holy and sacred is the gospel of the kingdom. Dogs and pigs are a reference to people who have given their clear evidence of rejecting the gospel in a vicious, malicious, and scornful way. And there are people like that. There are people like that who you share the gospel with, and they not only just say we're not interested, they are scornful, they are vicious, they have expressed their rejection of the gospel of Jesus. They are blasphemous against God. There are people like that. Maybe you know some. So after he prohibits judging unfairly and hypocritically, Jesus issues a call to judge carefully. He says that there may actually come a time where you will need to judge and discern carefully whether or not you stop proclaiming the precious and holy word of God, the precious and holy gospel to someone who has come to you with an outward rejection, with a vicious rejection, with a malicious rejection. Jesus says, yes, love your enemies, turn the other cheek, don't judge unfairly, but don't be foolish, discern carefully. There may be a time in your life as you proclaim the word of truth that someone attacks you for the gospel viciously. There may be a time in your life, Christian, where you'll have to discern carefully. And prayerfully and slowly, whether this is a time to stop speaking and to move on. This is what Jesus told his disciples when he sent them out. He says, go from town to town. If you walk into someone's house and they reject you, this is a paraphrase, then shake the dust off your feet and go. He's not saying don't care about people. He's not saying don't love people. He's not saying don't persist in the proclamation of the gospel. He's not saying that. The proclamation of the gospel is our mission. We should do so in an unrelenting way. Hear me. We should pray for our unsaved loved ones. But there may come a time that you come up against someone who has told you viciously and maliciously that they have made up their mind to reject the sovereign ruler of the universe, Jesus Christ, and his gospel. Jesus says, stop throwing the precious word of God to dogs and pigs who will trample it underfoot and turn around and attack you. Now here we need to be careful. Because some of us will already fall into the temptation of judging someone else unfairly. Well, maybe they've done that to me, and you're rushing. I'm not going to preach the gospel to that person anymore. Well, hold on. Don't judge unfairly. Don't judge hypocritically. You have to judge carefully. You have to judge with discernment. And I believe this is happening all over the world. All over the world and all throughout history. People have been laying down their lives to translate the scriptures, laying down their lives to distribute the scriptures, laying down their lives to be a gospel witness in hostile territory because they believe and share the burden that all men and women must come to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is good and this is right, but I wonder how many missionaries have had to leave towns battered and bruised with tears streaming down their faces, not wanting to leave, but having to make a discernment, a judgment, that it's time for me to stop speaking. This is not easy to discern. It's not easy to decide. And I would even suggest to you, it's not something that we should decide frequently. I would say it would be a very rare thing to make this kind of judgment as you're led by the Lord. But this is what Jesus is talking about. He's addressing unfair judgment. He's addressing hypocritical judgment. And now he gives this nugget. He's addressing careful judgment as it pertains to the book you hold in your hand. I hope you come to church with your Bible. This is a holy and precious book because it points us to a holy and righteous Savior. The words of this book, inspired by God, they're precious and holy and sacred. And Jesus says, don't throw it to dogs and pigs to be trampled underfoot. Careful discernment, careful judgment, prayerful judgment, not angry judgment, not unwise, not foolish, careful. So that we can be most effective as citizens of the great kingdom of Jesus Christ. So may it be so for us, for everyone that fills this theater, may it be so for us. We don't judge each other unfairly. We don't hold our own standards over people unfairly. If you're doing that, today's the day to stop. We don't assume the motives of people's hearts unfairly. If you're doing that, today's the day to stop. But we seek God for wisdom and discernment to judge well based on the criteria of Scripture. Why don't you bow your heads with me right now? And you know what? James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Could we just have a moment right now where all of us acknowledge that perhaps we're lacking wisdom in many things in our lives? In fact, I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet right now. We're going to get ready to sing. But could this be a moment where we're asking God for wisdom for our lives? And I would urge you to do that. Don't slip out just yet unless you have to. I know some people have to. Just stay right where you are and just say, Lord, you said that if I lack wisdom, I can ask you and you'll give it to me. Today's a moment to do that. Asking him for wisdom. Maybe right now you've identified very clearly where you've stood over someone in judgment that is unfair. Maybe this is a moment where you're realizing right now that, man, I've been holding the standard over people, but it's not a biblical standard. It's actually my preference, and I've been judging them in my heart for not doing what I do or being like me. If God is speaking to you about that, this is a moment to say, Lord, I want this log out of my eye. God, I see this log, this plank, this beam in my eye. I want it out, Lord. Forgive me. And as you come to the Lord, you know, it's so beautiful. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. The log comes out, and now you can see. Now you can see. And now you can help. Now you can be helpful to your brothers and sisters with a heart of humility and love. So, Lord Jesus, I pray that you help us as a church to be mastered by the Holy Spirit. You said in your word, don't be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Help us. I pray for everyone in this place who is feeling the burden of having been judgmental unfairly to someone else or hypocritically. Lord, that you would show them the grace of the gospel and that you would bring each person to a place where logs are removed, humility is gained, and love is expressed. Perspective is reached. Oh God, right now you know my heart, how I long and desire so much for this church to put off all judgment of one another, that we would be freely growing in love and unity and grace. Let it be so. And I believe you're preparing us to be a church where many people who are very different than us will come. Many people who are very different than anything we've ever known will come, and they will come and know the gospel of Jesus. Let us be a safe place for all people and for each other. We pray. And now we give you all the worship and glory with this last song, because it's due to your name. In Jesus' name we pray.